I love what 1 Corinthians says today. There's a lot of cool stuff in the book of 1 Corinthians, stuff that will make you embarrassed. Like, and they're proud of their sin a lot of times. But it kind of starts with a practical thing where, let me just open up. How many denominations are there? Too many to count. Think about why there are denominations. I like to say it this way, that all denominations aren't evil. They're not all bad. It's like different flavors of ice cream. There's different styles, different traditions, different backgrounds. But many churches and organizations got started because of a disagreement. And they said, no, I don't believe this, but I believe that. Let's start it based on this. And so we're going to talk about something that's very practical. And I believe within our lifetime, and this is taking a miracle of God, but I believe in our lifetime that unity in the church, capital C, when I talk about unity, not just in this church, but in the capital C church, where there's unity, where there will be disagreements, there will be misunderstandings, things that I go, I don't really agree with that part of it, but there will be unity under one God, under one purpose, under one mission. The main goal remains the main goal, and I believe it can happen in our lifetime, because in heaven, there's not going to be different neighborhoods. There's not going to be the Pentecostal neighborhood, and there's not going to be the Catholic neighborhood, and there's not going to be the Nazarene. There's going to be one heaven, one God, one people. And for some reason, and I'll give you the reason why I think that white churches don't agree, is because where two or three are gathered together, you'll have disagreement and arguing and fighting. It happens in any relationship. It happens in any marriage. It happens in any relationship with your children, or with yourself. I like to say it like this. I don't agree with everything I say and do, and I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm disagreeing with myself. I'm going, if I disagree with myself, how many times are we going to disagree with other people? It's just a fact. We need to learn to unify even in the middle of disagreement. Okay, right? One person thinks so. The other people go, I know it's to be true, but that's a little bit difficult. You're right. It is. So as we go into 1 Corinthians, I want you to think about 1 Corinthians as a document that a doctor gives you. Okay, if a human body and a mind have various degrees of health, I want you to think about your body. I want you to think about your mind. Okay, there is different things on the spectrum. There's healthy, you're fit. You're like me. You're like, if you go up to the doctor looks at you, the doctor goes, well, you need to start prescribing me some medicine because you're so healthy. Okay, the doctor doesn't say that. But you're healthy, you're good. And then there's okay, you can work on a few things, but you're on that part of the spectrum. Then in your mind and your body, you may be unhealthy. You may start, it's like getting close to, you're pre-diabetic, right? You need to start dealing with stuff right now so you're not diabetic, okay? It's unhealthy, but you're not too far gone. Then there's the extreme unhealthy. Like, it's life or death right now. You need to fix it right now. And you go to a doctor and you say, please help me. And in his or her professional opinion, now they're not always right, right? Doctors are fallible. But in their opinion, they'll say, this is what you need to do. And you start giving their advice. You don't get offended, hopefully, at their, you need to work on this. You need to work on that. You don't get offended. You go, help me. You go to the person that's going to help you out a little bit. And the same thing is true with your car. Unless you're a mechanic, if you're, some of us in this room, you have a car problem, a clank in your car, and you're going to open the hood up yourself and you'll deal with it. You'll turn a little this, you'll pull that, and you'll take care of that, and it'll run like a dream. For me, I start doing that, I'm going to mess up something that's not wrong. I'm going to start pulling the wrong thing. Okay? I'm going to start unplugging the wrong plug. I take it to a mechanic and he looks under the hood and he looks under the car and he says, and I'm going to be nice to, I'm related to mechanics. I know how they deal. I know how they work. You know, you got this wrong with you. And while we were under the hood, we saw this wrong with it. And we saw this wrong with it. I'll pick on them because I'm related to them. But a good mechanic will say, you know what? This is what we see and this is the problem. We're going to fix it right here. It costs you $1,000 if you're lucky. But we're going to fix it. And you take it to a professional, you take it to a mechanic, and they're going to address the problem with your vehicle. Okay, there's healthy vehicles and there's unhealthy vehicles. An unhealthy vehicle, you got to get it checked. Okay, now when it comes to being a Christian, a Christ follower, or even church, it's the exact same way. There are various degrees for health in the church. And what 1 Corinthians does is like a it's like a mechanic. It's going to a mechanic and saying, this is what's wrong. This is what's wrong. You need to fix it. You need to address it, or there's going to be major issues down the road even more than now. Or a doctor, you go to a doctor and you don't get mad at them. You say, okay, doc, what's up? And so that's what Paul's doing. He's not a doctor, okay? He's a missionary. He's an evangelist. He reaches out to people for Christ, but his goal in 1 Corinthians is to love the church that's sinful. They've gone way out of whack, but he's not beating them over the head. I want you to get this. When you're reading 1 Corinthians, he's not beating them over their head because they're sinful. He's not. He's a little bit upset a little bit, but it's because he wants the best for this church. He planted this church. It's God's church, and he wants to see health. And so it's like a doctor who doesn't beat you over the head because you have cancer. This doctor is going to do something in love. He's going to show you what to do in order to get healthy. And that's exactly what Paul does. He wants to get to the core of the problem. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in just a moment in verse 10. We're going to park on verse 10 for a while. And then we'll read the tail end of it. It's just giving them an example of what their specific problem was right away. And I love that Paul started with this, because you can't really deal with all of the other stuff that they deal with if you don't gather around this one thing that's the most important thing in any church. It's also true if you're married. It's the number one thing that you need to do if you're married, or any relationship, a work relationship, a boss relationship, anything, and that is I'm going to call it supernatural unity. Not just unity, okay? Here's a word I want you to not think that unity is. Uniformity. Okay, we're not talking about everyone likes the same music. They're my generation is the best generation. Your generation is just messed up. Okay, if we start doing this kind of thing, that's uniformity. Everybody has got to look the same. Wouldn't it be kind of boring if all Christians looked the same, or all people were the same? It's like that. I talked about it before, but that Twilight Zone episode, and the guy wished for everybody to be like him, and they all looked exactly the same as him. Now, the funny thing is, the guy, whoever the actors were wearing masks that kind of looked like him, so it looked really ridiculous, but that was in the late 50s, early 60s, so it was hilarious. But everybody acted like this guy, everybody looked like him, and he got bored. And that is how the church would be. If everybody was the same, if you liked rap music, there's Christian rap, by the way, and when I was in college, there's a guy down the other hallway, I heard his music loud. It's like, I don't listen to death metal, but it's like Christian, like screaming, ah, Jesus, and then that kind of thing. I'm like, that is not my style. It was not. It was Jasper's style, Jasper Massey. I know you're not watching, but if you were, love you, man, because he was a friend of mine. But that's not my style, okay? If you know me, I listen to music that's before my generation, just trust me. Okay, I listen to music that my grandpa listened to and my mom and dad listened to. Just a true story. I never liked the music that was my generation. But it would be boring if everybody was like my friend Jasper. But it'd be boring if everybody's like me. Okay, everybody, we're all different. We all have different backgrounds. We have different traditions that we celebrate. We have different things that we do. We have different church backgrounds. Some people, even watching online, you have a Catholic background, and it's different. You know when to kneel, you know when to sit, you know when to do this, you know when to take communion, you know everything. And then maybe you're Pentecostal, and sometimes Pentecostal churches, sometimes you've seen them kind of get wild, you know, and it's like this order. And the point is of Paul is, don't be like everyone else. Don't change who you are, but you can be at the same time. You can be in unity, rallying around one God, one purpose, and one mission. That's what he's going to get. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about supernatural unity. Now, I usually try to do a title of a message, and this is not a creative title. I tried to think of a creative title that my YouTube people, the 20 people that watch it, or up to 20,000 people that watch the one video, that they'll go, ooh, that's a cool, I want, not clickbait, you know what clickbait is, ooh, I want to click on that, and it's like, no, I want something that pops. This doesn't. But I want to get to the point. Supernatural unity in the church, in any relationship, this is vital. You cannot move on without supernatural unity. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, transform us. God, we study the Bible today not for information only, but for transformation. So God, bring about our transformation today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 1 Corinthians 1, we're going to park our hearts in, I was going to say our rear ends, but whatever, you're parked in the chair. But I'm going to park in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. This is such a huge verse, okay? The rest of it's good. It's like an example of why he's saying this. He's given the prescription before he's given he's going to you and he's saying, okay, this is what you need to do to fix the problem. Then I'm going to give you the problem in the next few verses. But let's just park at verse 10. He says, I appeal to you, dear brother. Now, here's another side note that I might not have said last week. 1 Corinthians is actually a response to another letter that was already written to the Corinthians. Okay? That they responded back to him and they said, this is what's going on. And so this is a response letter, in other words. There's clues of that in this entire letter, that it's a response to what he's hearing. Okay, there's letters going on. There's people saying this is what's going on, and he's responding to it. So 1 Corinthians isn't really 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians in their Bible. Okay, but it's a response letter. Okay, so now that's why he's appealing to you. Maybe he has word of knowledge in his mind and his heart, but it's more of a response. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord. Say our. Already he's talking unity. Who's Lord? Not my Lord, not your Lord. Our Lord. I appeal to you by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ to what? Live in harmony with one another. Everybody say harmony. This is such an important word. I really love the word harmony, so I wanted to park there for just a minute after I'm done with this, because harmony, it's a beautiful picture of what Paul's trying to paint here. He says, I appeal to you to live in harmony with each other. Let there be what? No divisions. None. Man, I look at the church, capital C, and there's thousands of different denominations. Again, it's like different ice cream flavors. Yeah, there's different flavors that people like. People like vanilla, people like strawberry, people like chocolate, people like to put them all together at Neapolitan. They like to do it. It's like different. So it's not all bad, but there's a reason why there's so many denominations. Because at some point, someone disagreed with something, they pulled out of that church, and they started their own. Okay, the Assemblies of God was started with a bunch of people who they thought were rebellious, and they were kicked out of their churches, and they decided to start, this is in the early 1900s, they started their own denomination because they were each kicked out of their churches. Okay? But Paul, and ultimately God, because of the authority of Jesus Christ, he wants us to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. None. Zero. Zilch. None. Are you going to agree with everything that everyone says? Say no. No. You won't. Are you going to look exactly the same as someone else? No. Are you going to listen to the same music that the person next to you does? No. Me and my wife are different. We like different styles of movies. We like some of the same music, but some of the music that I put on repeat, she goes, I'm sick of that song, but I like that song. There's certain, my flavor of music is all over the board, okay? But I don't like that yelling and then you say Jesus once in a while. I'm not saying that's evil. I'm just saying that it wasn't my style, okay? But look at this. Rather, instead of divisions, rather be of one mind. Here it is. United in what? Here it is. United in thought. And if you're like, what is that? How can we be united in thought if I disagree with what they're even doing? And united in thought and what? And purpose. Everyone say purpose. We can be disagreeing with people on different things. And we can even disagree with some, I will say, even small little doctrines that I would even consider opinions. I'll give you an example. I might even split the church. Some Christians think that drinking alcohol, you shouldn't drink alcohol, period. Right? Don't some churches say that? Then there's some churches, they'll say, no, you could, in moderation, go ahead and do that. Jesus turned water into wine, not grape juice. He turned into wine. That was the miracle. Okay? But, which one is true? Right? And even right now, some of in your head, you're going, okay, that one over there was wrong. That one over here, I'm right. Listen, it's an opinion. We will unify in purpose. We'll unify in the things that really matter. We'll major on the majors, and we'll minor on the minors. Okay? Right? One. Okay, perfect. That's better than nothing. Perfect. I'm being biblical here, okay? I'm not trying to be, this is not Pastor Joel's soapbox, okay? Now, I talked about a couple weeks ago in our sermon about Bible study is that when you read the Bible, I don't care what passage you're reading, you need to stop what stands out to you. When something stands out to you, and it's almost like God highlighted it for you, you need to pause right there and see what's going on. The first thing that I noticed here, okay, was the word harmony. Harmony is not just a musical term, but it's a very musical, very much a musical term. Okay, I'm related to someone that's musical. When I met her in college, she was in a choir in college. I mean, she has a beautiful voice, and I knew that from when I first met her. And so there's this idea of harmony, okay, to harmonize. Anybody ever heard that before? Okay, you take a choir and I was in choir in junior high, not to toot my own horn, but I was part of the number one junior high boys choir in Washington State. And I did that because I didn't want to carry a big, huge instrument to school, so I did choir. And then we went to Tacoma, Washington, and did a whole choir thing, and we won. So that's why we're number one. That's the big nerd thing, because I wasn't, at that time, wasn't really an athlete. But I know a little bit about harmony. One thing we did in junior highs, especially with the boys, their voices were changing and a little squeaky, right? You had three different roles for the boys when us. We had first tenor and second tenor. Actually, we had more than that. We had first tenor and second tenor, baritone, which is middle, and you had bass. My twin brother, who has the same voice than me, was in bass. I was in second tenor. How does that work? I have no idea. We have the same voice. But anyway, he was more of a man than I was. My voice didn't change as quick as him. But we took a bunch of different junior high boys who squeaked, and they were by themselves. They're horrible. We were horrible. You took the girls together. You took the boys together, and you took something called a horrible thing. This person sounded this way. That person sounded that way. Everybody was different, right? They didn't sound the same. Trust me. Even one boy, I can't remember his name. I think I do. But anyway, his voice is so high. He had to be an alto. Which I feel bad for him. I really did. He was a friend of mine. I don't remember his name though. Junior high. He moved away after that year, so I can't remember. But for some reason I remember he's an alto. But anyway, it took different types of people to make this choir good. You take different voices and you put them together and you harmonize in just the right way. And guess what? You have a beautiful choir. But that's the purpose of a good choir, is to take different voices that sound different by themselves. Because each one of us had to go in front of Mrs. Brown, and we had to sing, and Mrs. Molly Brown, she would take us and she'd go, you go to that part, you go to that part, you go to the part. Okay, I'm second tenor, I'm not the highest, but I'm pretty darn close. But I was right there, and we sang different songs. We sang some good African spirituals. We sang some fun songs like oldies and that kind of thing. And that's what harmony is. And so when it comes to music, it's the same in the church. You take different people, different backgrounds, different histories, different tastes, different styles, different looks. And by themselves, maybe you're fine, but by themselves, you may feel like you're not as useful as someone else. But you take everyone together, you can harmonize and make something beautiful for God. That's what the church is supposed to be. Live in, what's the word? Harmony. Thank you. Someone has read that screen up there. Okay, what's the word? Harmony, right? You take something that's so different and you put them together and you make some beautiful sound. If it doesn't sound beautiful together, what do? You harmonize a little bit. Okay, okay, you need to go up a little bit. Okay, you need to go down a little bit. Lower, lower, Dwayne. Lower, lower. And then, okay, and then let's try it again. And then you hear Dwayne, he changed what he said and he's saying it a little bit lower. Like, okay, that's perfect. You sound different than her, but together, it's beautiful. That's the image that Paul wants to bring to us today. Is a choir is not a bunch of different voices. It's not the same voice over and over and over. It's not soprano, 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 soprano. Now let's sing together. Let's all be soprano together. No, that would not work for some of us. Okay? For those of us who are really low, like Dwayne, he could sing soprano, but then he would hurt his throat. Right? So that's what he is. That's the thing that stood out to me. I was thought about this a church that's working together in harmony. But think about your church background, your church history. Without saying out loud, I want you to experience it for just a minute. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go back in time in your mind, and I want you to go to back to a bad church experience. Because we've all been there. Okay? We've all been to a bad church experience. And the thing is, sometimes it's over a disagreement that might be legit, like it's a real disagreement. But the way that some of our churches handle disagreements is very unbiblical. We beat the people over their heads. We say, my way is the only way. Dwayne, I don't care what you think. So he's so wrong. And if you guys listen to that guy right there, you guys are wrong. You guys are all unbiblical. You're horrible. Instead of that, we go, you know what? I'm just using this example because you're sitting right there, is because, okay, I don't agree with this part of Dwayne's life. I'm not going to beat him over the head. Okay? I'm going to see what in areas what we agree with. Like, you agree that Jesus is Lord. He's the only way to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through Him. I know your beliefs. That's true. And if I focus on what matters, major on what majors, we can actually agree. We can actually be in harmony with one another. I'm a little bit different. My style of music's a little bit different than yours. And maybe it's not, because, again, my music taste is the generation before me. And so, I don't know. Maybe we, you know, I like all kinds of music except for a few yelling, screaming things. But now, you may see that your church was full of division, fighting, gossiping, backbiting. And Paul's saying, no. No backbiting. No gossiping. No fighting. No, no, no. What we're talking about is unity, harmony. Sure, we're all different. But if you put everyone together under one Lord, under one purpose, something beautiful can happen. Now, the bottom two lines stood out to me. Another thing that stood out to me, it was one verse. There was so much popping out. And it said, I want to read this together. Let's read it together up on the screen. Ready? Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. I want to do it again because I only heard a few voices. And I heard my own voice. So, ready? Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Awesome. You guys sound good. Okay? Let's at least be united in reading the scripture together, right? United in thought and purpose. I love that. So, as a church, what is the most pressing thing right now in the church generalized? I'm talking about the big church. I'm talking about its unity. The biggest thing that we could possibly talk about right now is unity. It is so important, based on when you read the Gospels of what Jesus said about unity when it comes to church. One of Jesus' prayers to his Father in John, we'll read it in just a little bit later, one of the prayers has not been answered yet. Do you know the answer to his prayer about unity can only be answered by you and me together? That's it. It cannot be just all of a sudden just change. It has to be realized in our generation. Okay, his prayer about unity has not been answered. Okay, that the church would be one as me and the Father are one. Okay, so we need to be of one mind, united in purpose and thought and purpose. So it's not that we don't have different ideas about what the church is really about. Because one of us may think that this is the most important, whatever it is. Then someone else thinks that this is the most important thing. Pastor, we need to focus more on that. If you ever notice, some churches are all about worship. That's the main thing. Nothing wrong with that. I've been to church that the music time, over an hour and a half. I was like sitting there going, is it lunchtime yet? That was, okay, when's the sermon going to start? And the sermon was like 20 minutes. You guys don't get that lucky. Then there's some churches that are all about the sermon. Less music. The music's like 10 minutes. Okay? Now, which one's right? See, the answer to that could split the church. Which one's right? Yes. Yes. Which one's right? Yes. They're both right. Okay, it's the different styles of people. Okay? You're getting the Bible, yes, but you're worshiping the Lord Almighty. Which one's more important? Yes. The thing is, we generalize. The church often fights over different things, style of music or different stuff. Some of us have different ideas and opinions about church, and it's like, which one wins? Well, when we fight over things, no one wins. That's why the church general, and when I say church, I'm talking about the capital C for this entire series. Okay, because the church never wins. People will pull out of that church and they'll start another denomination. A second church of this, a third church of that, a fourth church of that, a 125th church of that. Okay, it's like when you see a church that says first church of that, second church of that, you know something happened back in the day. Okay, just letting you know in history that when you see a second church of this, it's because it's not the first one that existed. At some point, some people pulled away and started another one. But we need to actually be unified in purpose. So what is the purpose? Here's a statement that we've said over the years at this church, and I have not said it enough. I need to say it more often. In fact, I need to say it at least once a week. Okay, because this is something we can rally around. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be things that you don't agree with, and that's fine. Okay? I'm not asking you to look like me and act like me and listen to this style of music. I'm not. Okay? But what I do say is let's rally around a thought and a purpose. Okay? Now, the purpose idea of this church, and it's been since I moved here, we exist to lead people into becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Now, that one statement says a lot. We can rally around this because why? We exist first and foremost to worship Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ and be full of His Spirit. Okay, we exist for Jesus, by Jesus. We exist to serve Him with everything. But we exist also to be growing. Becoming is the growing part. Becoming a what? A fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. You are on the different place in your relationship with God. Okay, we're all on a journey together. And you're somewhere, you're at a different part of the journey. Just because you're ahead of the game, just because you're ahead on the journey as someone else, doesn't mean you're better than anyone else. If you're a new Christian and you're at the beginning of the journey, doesn't mean you're worse. You're just in a different part of the journey. But as long as we're all going and becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, that's what matters. And also there's something that we had at the very beginning of this purpose statement. We exist not only to become a fully devoted follower of Christ, but we exist to what? Lead people. Lead other people. Your role and my role, all of us, it's not my pastor role. It's my role as a Christian. Jesus said that you're going to be a disciple that's making disciples. That's the Great Commission. You're a disciple, which is a follower of Christ who is going to lead people not to salvation only, but it's to lead people into a same thing, growing relationship and a fully devoted relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the statement. That's something, yeah, we'll disagree on stuff. Yeah, we'll disagree on stuff. I disagree with myself. And I've been married almost 20 years, and we disagree on stuff, don't we, Lynn? We do. We're different people. Imagine that. Imagine that we're opposite in a lot of ways. I mean, sometimes we just look at each other and go, if I start saying, why can't she be more like me? I know I'm in trouble, right? If I want her to become more like me, I'm in trouble. Or if it's the same, I want to become more like Lydia. That's not necessarily the best thing. I want to be the best version of me for her, right? That's the same thing in church. We need to become the person that God made us to be and remain there and go, you know what? Dwayne, you're a little bit different than me. That's okay. That is okay. And I'm going to focus on the matters, and we can rally around that statement, which I have not said that enough over the last couple years. But that is the purpose statement. That is our purpose. Now, here's a question. How do we get from having all sorts of different belief systems and different backgrounds and different types and different styles, and you listen to that kind of music, and maybe you prefer hymn books, and where's the hymn books? Their hymn books are in that room in there. Okay, if you want a hymn book. Okay? Why don't we have hymn books? We have hymns a lot of times up on the screen. It's easier for you to see, oftentimes. Okay? But some people don't like hymns. Oh, that's old. That's old fashioned. We want the new stuff. We want Maverick City Church worship. You know, and that's the only one that works. Back when I was first a Christian, it was Hillsong. Darlene Check was the best. She was the leader on Hillsong music. And if you were anybody, you sang Hillsong. That's the way to do it. And I'm like, you guys are missing the point. It's worshiping Jesus Christ. So how do we get from being different people to being unified? That's a good question. Well, there's three things I want to focus on today. There's a couple places to focus on. These are very simple things that we can rally behind. Not only the purpose statement, there's three things that happen that bring us all together as a people group. I don't care what your background is, it brings us to the same place every single time. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. That we need to recognize, if we're going to get to unity, we need to recognize that we're all created in the image of God. Now, this might offend someone, but even those people that you don't like, they were all created in the image of God. Now, sin has tainted that, right? We have warped what that even looks like. But when it comes to humanity itself, different backgrounds, different histories, different sin, different tradition. Maybe they grew up in a different religion. Maybe they grew up an atheist. Maybe they are an atheist. Maybe they don't believe in God. At a basic humanity level, we are all created in the image of God, period. So what does that mean? Why is that important? Because it automatically gives people value. And why do we reach out to lost people for Christ? Because they matter. Why do people, we don't want them to go to hell. We don't want our enemies to go to hell. We don't want to, even though we may pray that they'd go to hell. But we don't want the people that have harmed. I don't believe if you're a Christ follower, that if you are truly a Jesus follower, those people that harmed you, that you in your bottom of your heart, you go, okay, I'm mad here still in my mind. I have been hurt. But in your heart, you're going, I want that individual to receive Christ like I did. I want them not to go to hell. Okay, because the Bible talks about a literal, real hell, that separation from God forever. You don't get a second chance. It's called the second death for a reason. Okay, we need to recognize that all people are created in the image of God. And so Genesis 1:27 gives us the proof that, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'm not going to talk about the last part, even though we could. That's not the purpose of this sermon about male and female. Okay? But I will say that when God said, I'm creating mankind, he didn't just say, well, this person has value and that person doesn't. Men and women are different, but we all have the same value. People have different backgrounds, and they have different traditions, and they have different skin colors, and they have different belief systems. They have different things. I'm not saying all belief systems go to the same God. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, I'm talking about themselves as a person. It gives them value. So what does that mean? It means we can rally around that belief that people matter because they matter to God. They matter to God. They should matter to us. We can rally around that thought that people matter. Even the person that we cannot stand, as hard as it is to say, they still matter to God. And we need to ask God to heal our hearts and heal our bad attitudes about some people. We need to bring healing to those relationships. So that's the very first thing that we can really rally around. You can rally around because we are all here, not by accident. We're here on purpose. Number two, this is such an important thing that we can rally around. How can we bring unity? Well, we need to realize that all are unified and reconciled with God only, say only, only through Jesus Christ. Now, that's a horrible English way of saying that we all come to the cross in the same way. Every single individual in this church, everyone watching online, everyone that's not yet a Christian, maybe they're atheists right now, we all come to Jesus the exact same way. You know what? Rich people come to Jesus the same way. Poor people come to Jesus the same way. Mass murderers come to Jesus the same way. People who think they're perfect come to Jesus the same way. You know what? We come to Jesus broken. We come to the cross the exact same way. No one goes to God any other way because you're special. Oh, you're special. You're special. Oh, Jesus, he has a front door, and the front door is for special people, holy people. Everyone else that's sinful, go through the back door and sneak in there. No, we all go to Jesus the exact same way. There's only one door, and Jesus is that door. We are all only unified and reconciled with God only through Jesus Christ. So you can disagree with people around you. That's okay. You don't have to agree with them, okay? But we need to unify on the specific things that really do matter. And one of the things that matters, we've all come to Jesus the exact same way. I don't care your background. None of us have done enough for God. In fact, my favorite verse, two verses to read with this, is Romans 3:23 and 3:24. This says it right here. You want proof? This is not just a Pastor Joel thing coming out of his brain. For all, everybody say all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Do you know what justification means? Easy to remember if you don't know what justification. It's just as if I'd never sinned. Okay? In other words, another way of saying that is, I'm right before God. Okay? I'm right before God. I had a pastor tell me that. I was like, what is just, you got sanctification, you got justification, you got constipation. No, wait, that's not it. You have justification. What does that mean? Just as if I had never sinned. When Jesus, He died for you, you came to Jesus the same way, He represented you, and He died for you. You go to God the Father just as if you've never sinned. You're free. And it only, what? Freely, by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The only reason that we can ever say that we're children of God is because God is good. Period. And I don't care how your background, I don't care your Catholic background or whatever, even if you're Mormon. If you're a Mormon, you grew up Mormon, and then you kind of got out of that, and you're like, I'm kind of confused. Right now, the thing that really sticks out to me is like, we were all redeemed the same way. I'm not saying more. I have Mormon people that think that I'm their friends. They hang out with me. Okay? They come to my house. They drive around and they wave at me and say, "Hey, Joel," they send me messages on my phone. Okay? And I really feel like maybe it's from God. Maybe it is to reach out to them. So I'm not saying that all religion is the same. I'm not. What I am saying is that if, I don't care what background they have, the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. We all have the exact same. That is a rally point. That is a unifying point that we can focus on. If we disagree on certain things, the little things that don't matter, who cares? Who cares? I've been married almost 20 years and we disagree on certain things, and that's okay. Does it make us argue sometimes? Sure. But are we still happily together? Yes. Okay, I don't want to get divorced from her. I want to be married to her till death do us part, because that is the promise that we made. Okay, even if things are hard, which they are sometimes. Same is true in the church. Sometimes things are hard. Sometimes you're not going to agree with everything. As long as the church that you're attending doesn't say, "Well, Jesus is a way," and if you start hearing that, you have my permission to get out of these seats right now and leave and run out as fast as you can and never talk to me again. If I start saying that, get out of here, because that is not right. What is right is Jesus is the way, period. And that's what we can rally around. That's what we can rally around. That's why this really matters. So the last one is, we talked about calling last week, but the number one calling, all of us have a calling to be unified and reconciled with each other. Now, the purpose of this one is very important, because you can't truly be unified in the body if there's still some problems between people, okay? You can't say, "I'm unified with that person, but I refuse to even attempt to make things right." Because how many of us know that you tried to make it right, but it didn't go right, right? I've tried to make things sometimes right, and it didn't go right. But it was, I did my part. They didn't do their part. I did my part. My part's done. Okay? Well, how mean of you. I'm just quoting scripture. In just a moment, we're going to get there. Okay? Because there, we have a part to play. But if you want to be unified, you need to get to a place that we go, you know what? We all have a calling from God to be unified and reconciled. Not just unified, but reconciled with each other. We all have people that we need to have reconciled. The first thing that I thought about was this verse in Romans 12:18. Romans 12:18, this is the Christian Standard Bible. If possible, I want you, let's say that out loud. Let's say, if possible. That means that it might not be possible. Okay, so if your goal is to make everybody happy and that's it, that's the wrong goal. That's not what it's going to say. If possible, as far as it depends on you, do your part. Don't do their part, do your part. As if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with someone. Just people that you agree with politically. No! Live at peace with everyone. Boy, if we need a miracle ever, we could be at peace with people that don't vote the same way we are. Oh my, how dare you, Pastor? Listen, this is talking about unity, not agreement. This is what it's talking about. Now, I can watch certain news things and go, "No, I'm done. I can't stand that individual." I can watch this. There's a certain show on TV. It's got these like four ladies that stand on the front. there's certain individuals, and it's like, wah, wah. It's like the teacher on Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. And I go, but, and I do that as a joke because I do. I'm like, oh, my word. But look at the condition of my heart when I'm doing that. Very dangerous, my condition of their heart. They don't even know who I am. Miss Whoopi Goldberg is not, I'm not her friend. So I have to be careful with the condition of my heart based on how I feel about her and the persona that she plays on TV. Live at peace with everyone, only in the church. Mm-mm. Everyone. I'm not a Greek scholar. I just pretend to be one once in a while. You know what it means? I'm going to tell you what it means in Greek. Everyone. All. Oh, wow. See, I didn't have to take the Greek class. That would have cost me thousands of dollars. I just do it because I know that it means everyone. Doesn't mean just some. Doesn't mean people that you agree with. Only Seahawk fans you can be at peace with. No. The people I work with, they're Raider fans and Steeler fans and Chief fans and Vikings fans. I pray for them every day to get the truth. But, so, if we seek restoration in our relationships, that's going to bring unity to the church. It really will. But they may say they don't want it, and that's okay. You do your part, I do my part. John 17:21, Jesus, he said, this is a prayer. He's praying for a few types of people. One of the prayers was actually for you and me. He said the church, the people are coming later on. He literally prayed for you. I love this. I pray that they, talking about future church, you and I pray that they will all be one. Just as, wow, you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. Pause. That is a strange way of saying, what does that mean? That we're, no. Well, it doesn't mean that we're God. What it means is that we could be unified just like the Son and the Father are. What does that mean? Jesus had a single purpose. What was his purpose? To do what the Father told him. He didn't have his own will. He never did. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. That's what he always said. And he said, but not my will be done. The one time that he wanted his own will to be done, he immediately said, nope. Not that will, your will be done. And Jesus' prayer is that we would be the exact same kind of unity that happens in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. He says, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. In other words, and this is true, the only way that it's hard to believe this, but there's two ways that Jesus says that the world will know that we actually are believers. Number one is that we love each other. And the second one is that we're unified. And those two go hand in hand. Other than that, you know, have you ever heard someone say, I can't go to that church or I can't be a Christian because they can't even get along with each other? Like they're their worst enemies. They're not wrong. So we want to be part of the generation that changes this. From a small town and a small church with just ordinary individuals, you play your role. And the only way that we're going to answer Jesus' prayer here is to actually do it. Other than that, Jesus' prayer will never be answered. I shudder at thinking that Jesus prayed that there was never an answer. Because I thought he prayed at everything. Everything was answered. Not this one, because we're still not in unity. I'm talking about the church in general. Okay? May they be in us so that the world will know that you sent me. Listen to me. Our decision to be in unity with one another would be an answer to Jesus' prayer. Let's see that in our generation. Now I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 through 17. I'm going to finish this section of talk and then we'll be done. But it's giving them an example of why they need to be unified, because there's a specific reason why they're not unified. Okay? This may seem a little bit weird if you're like, it doesn't really matter this preacher, I listen to him. I listen to them. You know, but he says, for some of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. In other words, he got a letter from Chloe. And they've told me about your quarrels, your fights, your disagreements. My dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Paul's the best preacher. Paul wouldn't even say that. Okay, Paul didn't think he was that eloquent of a speaker, but anyway. Or some of you say, others are saying, I follow Apollos. Which, by the way, he could have, there's a good chance that Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. It's a little freebie. I spent $100,000 for that topic in college, so I thought I'd use it at some point. Or, I follow Peter. Some of your translations might say Cephas. That's Peter. Okay? I follow Peter. Or, I don't need anybody. I only follow Christ. There's a lot of people like that. I don't need this. I don't need teachers. I don't need to listen to that. I just have Jesus. Okay? He goes, has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. Now, this is one of the most funniest of Bible. This is one of the reasons why I believe this to be actually historically accurate, because he thinks about something after he wrote this statement. He thinks about something. Okay, you're like, what are you talking about? Look, he says, I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. Gaius, if you read about him in first, I can't remember, it's third John. Anyway, one of the letters of John at the end talks about this guy. But I didn't baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius, for now no one can say they were baptized in my name. He puts the pen down, he goes, oh yeah, I remember another person I baptized. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else. It's little details, it's just fun. Like, he set the pen down, took a lunch break, and he went, oh yeah, Stephanas, I gotta remember that. I don't want them to think I'm lying. Okay? I just love it. I don't know why they would put that if it wasn't true. Okay? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach the good news. And not with, I love this, as a preacher, I love this, not with clever speech. Why? For fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. In other words, he wanted the cross to have the power only, not the sermon. The cross would have the power to change lives, not the sermon. I love that. But I love this scripture. I love this because humanity is funny. We all have a tendency to follow certain people as Christians. You know, worship teams. Oh, you got to listen to Elevation Worship. They're so good. You're like, that's not my thing. Okay? Oh, no, you got to listen to Maverick City Church worship. It's good. Oh, it's life-changing. Like, that's not my thing, right? You're like, nah, I'm good. It's something. Or man, have you heard this preacher? Pastor Joel, if you're this preacher, now that's a good example of what it means to be a good preacher. Now, someone's ever said that. Just say, you know, like we all have our tendency to favor certain people. And like, oh, this is life-changing. We start doing that. And he uses that as an example. And Paul would say, we're losing the point. He goes, we exist for Jesus. We exist for the purpose of Jesus. We exist to lift him up. We exist to make him known. That's why we exist. And as long as we can focus on that, there's no telling what will change in this community or in this church. We can rally, if you want to call it rally, I like the word rally. If we could rally around one goal, it's like a team. You put your hands stacked together and you're different types. You play the linebacker. You play quarterback, and you play corner, and I just play water boy, and we just put our hands together, and we go, go team, go Jesus. That's what he's talking about. We rally around Jesus, and the church would win. The world would win, because they want a unified church. They need a unified church that doesn't fight and bicker over every little thing. That's why I'm not saying denominations they may never go away until heaven. They probably won't. I'll say it right now. They probably will not. Because as long as two or three are gathered together, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be fighting. But let's not join in that. Let's join in what God is saying through Paul here, that we need to rally around the thought of purpose, deed, and thought. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for 1 Corinthians. Thank you that we can use an example in the church that was not healthy, but we can bring unity and health to our church because of someone else's mistake. And we pray that we would take this serious and that we would focus on what really matters. Major on the majors and minor on the minors. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Next week, it is potluck, so pot blessing, if you want to call it that. So bring a dish with food. I got to keep that because some people say bring a dish and it's like, okay, I'll bring a dish. I'm not bringing food, but I'm bringing a dish.